بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, وإذا جاء أجله لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون, which means Allah said that when the time comes to go, when the time of death comes, then it will not be brought forward by a sa'ah, by a unit of time, nor will it be delayed by a unit of time. We are here in Wilbraham at the home of our dear friends, and on the way, Dr. Shaukat Mateen said to me, when you come close to my house, look to the right. And what I saw, I'm going to send a video with this Fajr reminder, so I'll let you see it. I'm not going to try and describe it because I don't think I can describe it. It's all what are called so-called Halloween decorations. I'm saying so-called as in decorations. All of them focused on death. Now, I'm not going into the pagan festival of Halloween and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about the fiqh of it. I'm saying that here is a situation where death is being reminded to us. We are being reminded about death in the face, directly, clearly, graphically, in some ways, disgustingly, frighteningly, different images of death. And this is being done, call it what you want, call it a festival, call it anything you want, but it is there in the face. There is no way that anybody who lives in a country where Halloween is celebrated, who can say that I forgot about death. You are not allowed to forget about it. The death is, you're being reminded of that very strongly. And as I said, I mean, that's not the way that I would remind anybody about death, but that's how it's done. It's in the face. The question is, therefore, so what? Therefore, what does it do? Sad to say that, and Allah knows best, sad to say, if you look around you yourself, you see that it does nothing. Because we have got desensitized to that. What should have stopped us in our tracks and made us sit down and reflect and think very deeply about what is going to happen to me? Because I am going to die. There is no doubt about this fact that I will die. And then what? Instead of that, we pass by. And that is what happens actually to, maybe that is even a reason why these things are celebrated in this way, because they want to desensitize you to the thing. So you see it so many times. You see it in so many ways and shapes, it becomes more entertainment than reminder. But alhamdulillah, if we reflect, Allah has given us a mind, and we let people want do what they want to do, but we can get some benefit out of that. So I'm thinking to myself that let's look at this and think about this and say that what is it that I can do with these reminders, which are all the Halloween decorations everywhere, to bring about a positive change in my life. Now, Rasulullah said in the meaning of hadith, he said there are, every person has three kinds of companions. He said there's one companion or one kind of companion of the persons who, the moment they die, they leave them. They just wash their hands, they're gone, finished, no longer with you. He said there's a second kind of companion which goes with that person to the grave. And then at the grave, they leave them. There also they don't go beyond that. And there is a third kind of companion which goes with them into the grave. And then which stays with them on the day of judgment. It stays with them on the day of Hashr, when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he explained and he said, the first kind of companion which leaves the person as soon as they die is their property, is their wealth which they have left behind. Whatever it was, that's it. Khalas, once you are dead, ownership is transferred to the heirs and it's no longer yours. You have no, that does not benefit you, does not do anything to you, it leaves you. The second kind of companion who goes up to your grave is your family and your friends who take you, they do your Salatul Janaza and so on and so forth. They put you in the grave, they cover up the grave and then they also leave. The third kind of companion is the one which stays with you. Now this can be good news, this can be bad news. Because like all companions, you've got good ones, you've got bad ones. Now, if they are good ones, alhamdulillah, they are of benefit to us, and may Allah give us those good ones and give us the ability and the understanding to create those good ones. Because it's not magic, it doesn't happen out of the air, we have to work on it. And he said, these are your deeds. So, if they are good deeds, then these good deeds stay with you. In the grave, they are of benefit to you. When you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are benefit to you. Allah's mercy does not need excuses, but we present what we can present and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it and to forgive us, inshallah. But if those are bad deeds, then they also stay with you. They don't go away. They also stay with you, and then they take their toll in the grave, outside the grave, once we come out of the grave, on the day of judgment, and may Allah protect us. These are the things which will take some people finally to the final destination of the hellfire. Now, this is where we need to reflect and we need to think and say, what is it that I am accumulating? We all look at our wealth and we say, this is my property and this is what I own and so on and so forth. But like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no matter what you own, you have to leave it behind. The more you own, the more you have to leave behind. For most people, may Allah remove the love of things from our hearts while enabling us to enjoy them and to thank Allah for them, but without any love for them. So we don't feel a loss if we lose it. But that's very rare. But if that is there, alhamdulillah, you are blessed. If it's not there, then join the club. You are like everybody else. Now, when that happens, obviously, the more you have, the more difficult it is to leave it. Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik, the Banu Umayyah Khalifa, he came to Makkah for Umrah. And after Umrah, he asked the people, he said, is there any of the Tabi'in, anyone is here? So, they took him to one of the Tabi'un. And he asked him, he said, why do I fear death? He said, I fear to die. Why do I fear death? The person told him, the Tabi, radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayhi, he told him, he said, you fear death because where you have to go, you have done nothing for it. Your palaces, your luxury, your wealth, and all the things you enjoy are in this world. But for the place you are going, you have done nothing. So obviously, if you are going to go to a place and that place is a ruin, then how are you going to like going there? Nobody will like going there. So what must you do is do to that place at least what you would do to this place. The thing I remind myself and you is that we all know that one day we will leave this world. And we will leave this world for most of us. I mean, today I am 63 years old. And I know one thing for certain, that wallah alam, I'm not going to live for another 63 years, right? So I'm way beyond my 50% of my life. I'm probably beyond 90% of my life. I ask Allah to take me in a state of iman and health. So the point is now, for what is in my life, even if I live to be 100 years old, it's about 100 years. Whereas for the afterlife, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? As far as the comparison between this life and the afterlife is concerned, the malaika will ask, how much did you live in this world? How long did you live? Kam labithtum? Labithna yawman aw ba'da yawm. How long were you there? Maybe for a day, maybe for a part of a day. Now, for that part of a day, we need to reflect and say, what all do I do? And nothing wrong, alhamdulillah, if you are doing it in a halal way, Islam does not prevent you from having a beautiful house, from having, beautiful things, and so on and so forth. But the issue of balance, the issue of understanding, for example, if somebody goes on a holiday, right? I'm talking about halal. Somebody goes on a holiday. And on this holiday, this person spends $1 million. Right? He's spending $1 million on this holiday. Maybe he is going on a cruise and he says, I'm reserving every room in this cruise ship. I must be the only person on this cruise ship and I want to do the cruise alone. And if it costs me $1 million, $10 million, whatever, I'm going to pay that, right? Now, what would you say to that person? He says, no, I have the money. You say, you are a fool. I mean, you have the money, but you are a fool. Because what is the sense of spending all of this money on a holiday, which will end in 7 days? Whereas you look at your house and so on and so forth, you have a comfortable house, but if you put 10 million into that house, maybe it would be even more comfortable and so on and so forth. Instead of that, you put 10 million on a cruise and that ends in 7 days. Now take the analogy
to our lives. What is it that I am spending on my life here, which I know will end, which I know in comparison to the life coming is, I mean, the cruise is like a long time, 7 days. Allah said, this is a part of a day. Where is 7 days? Where is the life to come? Now, therefore, we need to take stock and we say, Alhamdulillah, let us spend on ourselves, let us be comfortable. Nobody says live under a tree, but what am I sending ahead of me? I remind myself and you that that is a hardcore calculation that we need to sit and do like we do our financials. Which I spend this much here, what am I sending ahead of me? Now, what did Allah say He will give for that? Allah said, "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha." Allah said, the one who brings to me one good deed, I will give him 10 times that. So that is 1000%. Now look at, I mean, you know, people deal in stocks and so on. Which stock gives you 1000% return? And this is 1000% return guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. Our stock returns are not guaranteed. People who had Boeing shares now must be, you know, scratching their heads because Boeing, the thing has dropped thanks to whatever they were doing. This is the reality of this life. No matter what you think you have a great blue chip share, that is blue chip. You know, it is blue chip as long as the market is there. The market, bottom of the market drops out of it, that's it, khalas. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no doubt about that. When Allah said, I will give you 10 times, that is 10 times. Now, the issue is, do we really believe that? It's not a nice thing to ask. And that's why I'm not asking you, I'm asking myself. And I'm requesting you, each one, ask yourself, do I believe Allah? Seriously, I think we have to sit down and ask ourselves this question. Do I really believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I know as Muslims, alhamdulillah, generally speaking, yes, we believe. We don't say we don't believe. But really, down here in the bottom pit of my stomach, in the pit of my belly, do I really believe in the akhirah? Do I really believe the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if that is so, then believe me, we will see our lives change. And if our lives are not changing, then with due respect, we really do not believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not believe His promises. We have doubts about that. Now the question to ask ourselves is that the state of my iman in which I want to go and meet Allah? Where I have doubts about the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to reflect and to think about these things and to bring about changes in our lives before our eyes are open for us and before the ghaib becomes the hazir. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.